Welcome to the Side Hustle Pilot Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Fasten your seatbelts and get ready to take off and create the type of side hustle and lifestyle you've always dreamed of. We hope you enjoy the ride.
Warning. This podcast isn't for your typical coffee-drinking gear jerker. It's for that hard-charging, button-pushing, I've-got-the-courage kind of pilot. And remember, fly airplanes because it's fun, not because you have to. Now, without any further delay, your host, Tito G.
Hello, and welcome to the Side Hustle Pilot Podcast. In today's podcast, we are talking to Ryan Hogan, the owner of Flying Ryan Performance. Ryan's side hustle is a little unique in the sense that he has managed to figure out how to tune cars remotely while on layovers using software, his computer, and the knowledge he has gained over the years. For Ryan, this side hustle has turned into a serious cash generating business. So without any other delay, let's go ahead and get started. Ryan, welcome to the podcast. We appreciate you being here today. And just if you can, tell us a little bit about your background, your story, and how you got into this side hustle.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. To try to sum it up into a quick blurb, real quick, my name is Ryan Hogan. I'm 32 years old. I live and reside in the Woodlands, Texas. I'm the owner and calibrator for Flying Ryan Performance. What we do is basically we do automotive reprogramming, and I specialize in Dodge, Jeep, and Chrysler vehicles. How I got into it, basically, I had another smaller automotive-related business. I had a friend that had a another business, and he needed some help at the time. He had bought into this software and hired someone to do it, and then they kind of flaked out. So I happened to be unemployed at the time. I was a full-time student working on my flight instructor rating, and one thing led to another, and 9 years later, here I am. So that's the best way I could sum it up quickly, at least.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about what you do. So you initially mentioned that you're able to do this side hustle remotely from a laptop. How would you describe the job that you do for your clients? What exactly is your side hustle?
When people ask me about my side hustle, you know, most aren't really familiar with what I do. Like, most people don't even know that you can reprogram vehicles for better performance or better fuel economy and that sort of thing. So I have to kind of really break it down into the simplest terms. The easiest way to describe what I do is, whether I'm doing it remotely or in person, I'm taking a vehicle and I'm optimizing it for better fuel economy, better performance, and so on. How I'm doing that is I'm using third-party hardware and software that anyone can buy, and modifying the content of it for better performance.
What you're doing is plugging up a car to a computer, and from there you're able to change the way that it performs, correct?
Yes. I'm basically taking the content of that file and making changes to it to optimize what's there. Exactly.
Let's kind of go back to how you got started. You bought the software, you put it on a laptop. Assuming you had prior knowledge and experience, how did you get your first customer?
Well, because my very start was involved with another business. I did have some prior knowledge. We describe it as knowing just enough to be dangerous, not enough to be effective. So, you know, it was kind of a situation where there was a little bit of on-job training involved. But he already had a somewhat established business. It was just a matter of finding someone to do the work. So it was a matter of the customers were already there, but it was a matter of kind of getting up to speed so that I could actually perform the work and do so with proficiency and being competent at it. So it was kind of challenging because I was kind of learning as I went, admittedly. But the customers would provide me the data that I was looking for, and I would look at that data and send files back. And over time, this all led to developing a massive library of files that I have to work with, at least as a baseline.
As a newbie with no experience, how would somebody transition into the side hustle?
For this to be a side hustle, having some prior knowledge, but if someone wanted to go in with zero experience, zero understanding of it from square one, I would recommend, for one, starting off with a brand of vehicle, because all vehicles respond to the same changes, but how you make those changes to get the desired outcome can be vastly different. Just because I specialize in Dodge, Jeep, Chrysler doesn't mean that I am a master at reprogramming Ford or GM or BMW or some other brand. So picking a brand would help. And then from there are, especially for with certain brands, there's vast resources to learn. I mean, there's books. The Tuning School is a company that's based around people that are trying to learn this stuff and trying to figure it out. And they have all sorts of different resources to educate people on how to do work comparable to what I'm doing. What's different about what I do specifically is that there's very, very few people, very few resources for Dodge, Jeep, and Chrysler. There's a lot of demand for the work. There's just not a whole lot of people that know how to do it. And that's where I come into play.
Where's the software located and how can I get familiar with the type of software that you use?
They're right there on the internet. HP Tuners is probably one of the most common ones. And it has, I would say, the most support across different brands of vehicles. That's the majority of what I'm using most of the time. I have other forms of software as well. SCT, Diablo Sport is another. SiteDCU is yet another one. I've used others as well, but those four that I've just mentioned are it makes up 90% of what I do. So for one, you can simply go onto their respective websites, purchase a dealer level software from them. Obviously what it costs depends on the software. And then from there you have the software. Now you just need the knowledge to make these changes. There is a little bit of risk involved in what I do. You can change the value incorrectly or fat finger something or, you know, go too far with something and cause damage. So it's definitely something that you have to kind of take baby steps into. And that's exactly what I did. I made little changes and had to kind of do a little bit of trial and error before I figured out, okay, this works with this vehicle, but this does not work with something else. Because I didn't have the resources for what I was doing, I had to kind of figure it out on my own. So what I have that the average newbie would not would be just the experience. I put a lot of time into what I do.
What would be the best way to gain that experience as quickly as possible?
If one were starting from basically square one and they wanted to, you know, basically get as experienced as possible as quickly as possible, the best thing that they could do is hands-on experience, whether that be if they were working with their own vehicle that can be programmed, or if they had a friend, or let's say knew someone that owned a shop that does this sort of work, you know, ask questions, try to, you know, if it's okay with them, you know, kind of shadow them. And, you know, that's if they can't work with their own vehicle, then observing someone with someone else's would probably be the next best thing. The best thing that they can do is be in that environment and just try to absorb like a sponge any info that they can pick up on. You know, when I first got started, I mean, I more or less did the same thing. Any info I can find on the internet, any videos, anything I could find that was relevant to what I was doing, I did my best to absorb it. Hands-on experience is worth a lot.
What kind of hardware is required? A computer, the software, and then what else?
Laptop, computer, especially if you're doing it remotely. Internet connection, the third-party hardware and software I mentioned earlier, like HP Tuners. And if they're doing it in a remote environment, the customer needs to have the same as well on their end.
Okay. And so how do they connect that to the car?
In most cases, we'll just use HP Tuners as an example because it's popular. They'll have their own laptop. They'll have their own internet connection. They'll have their own, we refer to it as an interface. It's a little bit smaller than a smartphone. And it basically just acts as a medium between the laptop and the vehicle. And it gets plugged into what's referred to as the OBD2 port. In most any vehicle after 1996, model year. It's usually underneath the steering column. The location of it varies from vehicle to vehicle, but it's almost generally underneath the steering column, at least in the vehicles that I work with. And once they plug that in from there, the way it usually starts is that they will do what's called a read. It's basically they're basically sucking out the file that's currently in the vehicle. They're emailing it to me. And because I'm using third-party software, the file's already been converted from, say, code, basically ones and zeros, into a language that the layman can understand. From there, I'm taking that file that they've sent me over email, and I'm making changes that correlate to any modifications that the customer might have to their vehicle, whether that be aftermarket exhaust or a cold air intake kit or an aftermarket camshaft or a supercharger or whatever the case might be. From once they send me that file, I'm making changes to that file. I'm saving it, and then I'm sending it as an attachment via email right back to them. From there, they're taking that revised file from their laptop. They're loading it in to the vehicle. From there, they will record data with the vehicle running with that file that I just sent them. They'll acquire the data that I need. They'll send that back to me via email. And then based off of the data that I see, I'll make changes based on what the data tells me. So if I need to subtract fuel, or I need to add fuel, or I need to take out some ignition timing or add some for that matter, whatever the case might be, it'll be based off of the data that's presented to me. And then from there, we kind of rinse, lather, repeat. You know, they'll send data, I'll send additional files back and forth until we're both mutually satisfied with how the vehicle runs.
Okay. You mentioned risk. Now, I mean, explain the risk that's involved.
There is risk involved. When I mention risk, you can have an engine failure or a hard parts failure if you go too aggressive with it. The problem with the downside to doing this sort of work is that there are limitations, and there's really not much in the way of safety nets. So you have to kind of know what you're doing, or else, there can be consequences to that. There can be hard parts failures. That's the one downside to this business, is that you can have complications from going too far with it. The nice thing about what I do is that I've done so much of it over the years, and we vet out what we send out over email with a lot of in-house, call it R&D, if you will, so that the odds of something like that happening are very, very, very small.
Have you had any big screw-ups?
I'm not going to say it's never happened. I have certain customers that they want something aggressive, and they understand the consequences. And yes, it has happened a handful of times over the years. I try to explain to people, they're modifying their vehicle. And in many cases, we're modifying the vehicle past the point of what a warranty will cover, or what the engine or associated parts connected to it are what they're rated for, so to speak. So yes, things can happen. In almost all cases, these were extremely modified vehicles, and they knew what they were getting into. As far as something that's mostly unmodified, no. I mean, we've never had anything like that happen. We do a lot of in-house testing, and that's the whole point of doing that, is to try to mitigate the risk that can happen from working with something sight unseen.
What kind of initial investment would a newbie have in getting started with this? How much would it cost?
I would say they could get involved with this sort of thing for, I would call it, I don't know, about $1,000 to $1,500 initial investment, to get all the equipment to do at least your own in-person testing. Would probably be, I would call it under $1,000. A wideband O2 sensor that we use for data logging is, $350, and that's for a, professional quality product. HP tuners is, I think, $300. A couple of miscellaneous other odds and ends that are needed. would probably add up to about $300. So yeah, I would call it, I would round up to about $1,500 as an initial investment. If they wanted to get more in depth, use a chassis dyno to do initial testing, that's usually an hourly fee at most shops, anywhere from $75 to $125 an hour in most cases. So obviously that gets expensive fast, depending on how quickly they can make changes and go from start to finish. But I would say about $1,500 as a starting point.
There's some serious money involved in this side hustle, right? I mean, you could make some serious money if you know what you're doing.
If you know what you're doing, depending on how much you utilize social media and word of mouth and that sort of thing. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I went from working with a friend of mine's business to basically working for myself about 5 years ago. And about 5 years ago, I was grossing about, we'll call it 25,000. Without getting super specific now, it's, I would say it's about 8 to 10 fold that now. And most of it's because of once I went out on my own, I was able to leverage social media. Almost everything we get in as far as inquiries and business, it's usually referrals off of either Facebook or someone they met at a drag strip, or it's almost all word of mouth. It's almost all referral based. Someone usually doesn't necessarily just come across my website on their own searching. They're usually finding me off of either Facebook or Instagram. We're on a Facebook group somewhere, or this is becoming less popular as social media has grown over the years, but even automotive forums. So it's almost all referral based, the work that we get in. So it's, if it's managed properly and if you know what you're doing, yeah, there's huge, huge growth. Huge opportunity to make serious money on this side hustle.
As far as your ability to do this, I mean, you could do this from your hotel on a layover and make a heck of a lot more money than you're making flying airplanes, right?
Yes. Without getting too specific, I mean, what I make through my side hustle, I'm a regional FO, so I make several fold more doing my side hustle than I do flying airplanes at this point in time. Yes.
As far as time requirement, how long does it take to deal with your average customer?
From start to finish in terms of doing the actual work, I would say the average amount is probably about 3 to 4 hours. If it's something that's less modified and it's something I can send sort of like a load and go kind of file, I would say 45 minutes. But if it's heavily modified, if there's any sort of mechanical issues that we need to troubleshoot, things of that nature, it can obviously become much more time consuming. But I would say as a general average, 3 to 4 hours from start to finish.
And how much are you making per customer typically?
My pricing is set up so that I'm averaging about 100 to 150 an hour on these vehicles.
What would be one of the biggest misconceptions about this type of business?
The biggest difficulty I have had, and I'm sure if you spoke to someone else, it may be something different, but at least for speaking for only myself, combination of time management and also because this is a side hustle, having my customers and the general public understand that I'm not available 24/7. Because even though this is a mostly online-based business, because I'm doing the majority of my work remotely and not in person, about my availability. I think a lot of online businesses, regardless of what they're selling, whether it's a service or if they're selling a widget of some sort, I think they have trouble getting the public to understand that they're not available all the time. So as time has gone on and because of the amount of work I do, I've tried to establish quote unquote shop hours. And it's been challenging at times to kind of enforce that. So the biggest conception is my availability and that the work, does take time. It is, especially with more modified vehicles, it is a process. So I would say those two things specifically, availability and what the process actually consists of.
What would you say is the biggest barrier to entry in this side hustle?
The biggest barrier to entry, and I wouldn't even call it necessarily a barrier, but the biggest barrier I would say to at least making serious income is acquiring knowledge. you know, that takes time. It's no different than our day jobs. You know, we don't go right into flying a jet. We have to put in our hours and put in our time. And I think what I do as my side hustle is not too different. I think if someone really puts in the time and they really grind it out, I think, you know, within a year, year and a half, they can really go from starting on their own to, you know, making a decent amount of money. But it just depends.
What would your advice be to somebody that is interested in this, but may not have a lot of experience and they're looking at getting furloughed, but needing to make money as soon as possible?
There is a ton of resources. YouTube, Facebook is another one. There's tons of groups that are free to join that don't cost a dime, where you can acquire at least basic knowledge about this sort of thing. And, you know, the best advice I could give them is to be a sponge and try to absorb anything they can from the resources available to them. I mean, when I started this 10 years ago, those resources weren't really in place. They weren't really a thing. Now they are. I mean, there's between social media, YouTube, there's so much available out there if they're willing to look for it. Yeah, I would just say just read and listen as much as possible. If they have someone that is in even a kind of related field, you know, try to absorb as much as they can from them. You know, if that means maybe, you know, if they look like they're going to have a lot more free time because they're not flying very much. I know right now my hours are down, I would guess, about 60%. I have a lot more time at home than I'm typically used to. You know, it may be worthwhile to try to approach someone to see if they could apprentice for them, or at least kind of watch in the distance, trying to pick up little things along the way. We all started somewhere, so that would be my advice.
You know, as an entrepreneur, as somebody that's always thinking about how to develop businesses, one of the things that really comes to mind to me is it seems like there should be, or there's a need to create a simulator so that you can actually gain the experience. Is that something that's available?
A simulator? Not that I'm aware of. I mean, that would be really cool. I definitely wouldn't be opposed to something like that being made. I think there are so many variables that go into what it is I do. I'm not sure how realistic that is, but not to say it couldn't be done. I can tell you that a lot of training programs, and we talked about the training thing kind of offline here earlier, but a lot of the training programs, they will have a vehicle kind of on display so that the students, so to speak, can apply changes and kind of see like a real world example. So not exactly in the form of a simulator, but there's definitely a example given in a lot of the higher end in-person training programs that are available.
Awesome, man. Hey, before we wrap up this podcast, I want to say thanks for taking some time to share your side hustle with us. Is there any parting words or anything that you'd like to share?
Absolutely. Before I answer that, though, I just want to say it's a pleasure to be a part of this. I'm flattered that I was even asked to be a part of this, so I appreciate it. As far as parting words, you know, there is, especially in the age of the internet and social media, there is so much potential, whether it be in what it is that I do as a side hustle or miscellaneous other side hustles out there. All one has to do is just go out and grab it. There's a lot of opportunity, and yes, it is hard work. I don't know if there's necessarily easy money out there. I know for me, it's not been easy to get here, but now that I am here, it's become a lot easier, and it's been really great. I'm really thankful that I've put in all this work. So because I'd be in a much worse situation if I did not have my side hustle. So to anyone that's listening to this, that is considering doing a side hustle, whether it be this or something else, I would say do it. It's so worth it. It's changed my life in a huge way.
Awesome. You know, as pilots, we're different creatures, man. And it doesn't really seem to matter how much money we make in our side hustles, but we still want to keep flying airplanes. It's the craziest thing.
I've had, you know, on that note, just real quick, I've had so many people ask me, well, like, why don't you just do this full time? And there's a few reasons why I have not left flying and have no plans on leaving flying, but I don't feel inclined to walk away from it, at least not anytime soon.
Ryan, appreciate your time. Good luck.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. We hope you've enjoyed the flight. And remember, fly airplanes because it's fun, not because you have to.